For the Players, the pop culturist PlayStation podcast is fueled by The Man Shake. I lost 30 kilos in 10 months using this meal replacement shake. If you want to support the show and Max in my weight loss journey, or to even start your own, click the link in the description below. The Man Shake. Real blokes, real results.
For the Players.
I'm Ryan Betson.
I'm Max Cooper.
And this is For the Players, the pop culturist PlayStation podcast. Over 40 years of playing PlayStation, and 8 plus years in this games media combined. I want to thank you for joining us in this PlayStation conversation.
This PlayStation conversation happens every Monday morning at 8 a.m. on podcast services, including Apple Podcasts and Spotify, and 9 a.m. on those YouTubes. If you'd like to take part in future conversations with us, come and check out our socials. Facebook, Discord, Instagram, and Twitter. All of those links can be found in the description below.
If you want to join us as the conversation happens, head over to twitch.tv/thepopcultures, where you can watch us record this show live, where you can jump in the chat and become part of the show. If you want to support the show, you can by telling your friends, telling your family about this PlayStation pod. If you're listening to us on your podcast services, be sure to give us a 5-star rating and a written review. If you are on YouTube, like, subscribe, or comment below. We endeavor to answer every single comment. And if you want to support us financially, you can at patreon.com/thepopcultures, as well as our merchandise store, but of course the Comstar shop, where you wear shirts and other assorted shit with our logos on it, just like Max is wearing, for those playing at home with the audio version. Max is wearing an FTP shirt, which you still can't buy because we got a DMCA'd, which is fair. Totally fair.
Very much fair.
No, I can't even argue it. It's like, yeah, no, that checks out. How are you, sir?
Yeah, not too bad.
Yeah, how's things?
Not too bad. Yeah, it's all right. It's been an all right week.
Yeah?
Been, you know, fairly slow-ish at work. So this week I had Tuesday off work because I woke up on Monday feeling like absolute ass. I'm like, I got a blocked nose, I got a sore throat. I've got COVID. So I went down, got a test, rang my boss. I'm like, hey, this is the situation. I can't come into work tomorrow. Have to quarantine until I get my results back. I'm like, I'm 99.99% sure that I do not have it. I'm pretty sure it's just my body's telling me to like calm down a little bit. I haven't slept very well. Yada, yada, yada. He's like, nope, it's fine. Take the day. Do what you got to do. I'll sort something out. Even if I have to work for you, it's all good. I'm like, sweet. So I had a nice little break midweek, and then obviously I was fine, and then back to work on the Wednesday.
But like, I would argue the 4-day week is the best week, so you may have made the right decision.
Yeah.
And I can confirm that because, so here in Victoria, it is the AFL Grand Final week, which means we get a public holiday on the Friday, because there's normally a parade in the Melbourne CBD, and they're like, so everyone can go. I'm like, it's like a pandemic, mate. Even then, I didn't want to.
You're like, there's been a parade every day in the Melbourne CBD.
There's been a lot of parades this week, and I don't want to attend any of them. So, yeah, that's pretty much where I'm at. It's not even being played in this state. It's being played in Western Australia because we're all fucked over here. So there's no way. We can't have an arena with people in it. But yeah, so I had the 4-day week as well, which is absolutely lovely. I loved it so much. Got a little bit of snooze, a little bit of sleep in, which is nice. Craig and I have been, as you know, if anyone's been following the last couple of weeks, friend of the show, The Mullet Show, and Craig, he and I have been watching Sons of Anarchy together for the better part of the last month and a half, near on 2 months. Every day we would catch up on Discord and we would watch it together and, you know, just sort of bond over this show. Oh, news to reviews with a 69. Nice. Keygasm. Thank you very much for the biddies, my friend. Thank you so much. And for joining us. I believe they had something happen this week too. I saw on Twitter. And I was like, oh, fuck yeah. And my brain has completely farted on what it was. It's gone. No, it's gone. Either way. Yeah, well, so we finally wrapped up Sons of Anarchy. It was great. We cried deeply with each other on Discord. because that is such a tremendous show. Such a damn good show. So last night we made the switch. We're undecided where we want to go because the level of intensity in Sons of Anarchy is very high. There's a substantial amount of trauma. So it's like, well, do we want to go that emotionally deep into something again, or do we want to go lighthearted? So we started watching Futurama again last night.
Oh, I thought you were going to say, so we're watching Scrubs now.
We're thinking Scrubs, and then, but Scrubs is one of the only shows that can make me laugh and cry in the same episode. So maybe not that one. So we're thinking Futurama, but then we made the switch to X-Files. Because the other suggestion was Supernatural, and that prick is like 15 years long. So, like, that one's a toughie, because that's a lot of seasons. And they're all 22-episode seasons as well, so they're big bastards. So, yeah.
Well, I've recently started rewatching the MCU films in timeline order.
Oh, nice. I did that at the start of the year.
So, I am sitting at Avengers Age of Ultron.
Nice.
That's the last one I watched.
Yeah, most things are sort of relatively in, you know, chronological order from here on out, so you're not too bad. The only ones that really throw you is like Captain America, Captain Marvel.
Which are numbers 1 and 2.
Yeah, so they're like right at the start in terms of the time. Everything else is pretty much chronological, isn't it? Is it not? Yeah.
Yeah, pretty much. Close to. Like Thor 2 takes place straight after the first Avengers film.
Yeah.
And then Guardians 1 and Guardians 2 are back to back in timeline order. They just have their own party in the middle.
But yeah, it's all good. Like, so I started doing that at the start of the year. I was in the same boat. I was like, I'm going to give this another run through heading into WandaVision. So that would have been last year. Yeah, and then it was one of those things I just burnt myself out like almost instantly. I was like, oh, lame. News to reviews. I love Futurama. Have to skip Jurassic Park. That's true. We may have to skip Jurassic Park because if we're trying to prevent the big old tears, we might not be ready for that episode. Maybe not. But yeah, other than that, like, so I've been trying to increase my gaming again this week. So with the watching of the shows, and I kind of needed it, I guess. I did sort of need a little bit of a time away from the games, try something new, give my refresh me a little bit. Like, it was a bad idea because it was right in that quiet time where I really could have benefited from playing something. But well, yeah, it's focused on that, allowed me to sort of chill and give me a bit of a refresh heading into what we've been playing this week. I'll kick it off because normally it's you, and I haven't stopped talking for the last like 4 minutes.
Sounds good.
Before we do that, speaking of me talking for 5 minutes, something that I have touched upon here previously as well is just this is a show about us and about our lives and what we do as well as the PlayStation. So this week, I actually had my pre-assessment for ADHD. Now, I've talked about it on the show before, about how over the last X amount of months, probably the last, at least this year, right? I have really been looking down that path to see whether that is where my head's at, mostly because someone mentioned it to me once, and it kind of, when I looked into it and I started going down that line of like, everything just sort of ticked. Everything just fell into the right box. So much so that I was like, have I just made all this up? Like, am I finding these coincidences for it to line up? However, so this week I did have I have a pre-assessment. So essentially to screen you to see whether you're like, A, because the assessment itself is pretty fucking expensive. So they sort of pre-screen you to be like, hey, we think you should do it. We think you shouldn't. You know, like, you clearly don't have it, so we're not going to put you down that path. For me, it went the other way. They were like, yep, no, it seems very likely that it might go down that route. So we recommend you take the big assessment. And they also want me to do a couple other little things as well to sort of see where it's at. So that's a good sign. I was actually really quite nervous going in because if I would hate for the editor to be like, nah. Not that I'm seeking that specific answer. It's just because it just seemed so right. And then I'd be like, oh, well, if that's not that, then what is it? Then why is my head so fucked? So it's been nice to sort of have that a little bit of... I guess affirmation about it, just be like, oh, cool, all right, well, at least it's very likely to go down that path. That's nice. That's cool. Because, you know, see, as I said, like, even though I wouldn't be mad if that was the outcome, I'm not seeking exactly that outcome, but it's one of those things. It's like, I don't know, I feel like I'm copping myself out a little bit. No, but the answer is like, yeah, I think that's the answer. And I want to get that answer, but I'm not going to like fake it to get the answer. What I'm excited for is if I do happen to have it and then I get medicated, I want to see how insanely different the world is. That's what I'm excited for. Because like
how insanely different the world is, or how insanely different your interpretation of the world becomes.
That too. That's kind of what I meant.
Because I feel they're two very different things.
No, but I mean that in like, because I want to be able to focus. I want to be able to, hold attentions on things. I want to not have my brain go 1,000 miles an hour. I want to remove this brain fog that I have. Mm. You know what I mean? And when that goes, it's one of those things I'm like, how? I want to know. I'm hoping it's that feeling of, why didn't I do this before? I'm like, why did I wait 30 something years? How did no one pick this up? Because like, I think the future will be in my fucking hands if I can suss this out. And that's what I'm excited for. Anyways, back to playing games. This week, I played, we started playing Kena, Bridge of Spirits. It's not Kena, it's Kena. It's like Ghost of Tsushima. It's not Tsushima, it's Tsushima. Like sushi, it sounds racist, but it ain't, all right? Kena. It sounds like it's got two E's in it, Kena. So Kena, Bridge of Spirits, came out this week. It's a game that we saw at, the PlayStation Showcase?
The original PlayStation
5 Showcase, year and a half ago, whatever it was. Which is exciting. It looked fantastic. It's made by Ember Lab, which are a team of ex-animators that have made their first ever game. And, man, do I have some things to say about this game. Now, Max, you haven't touched upon it at all.
I have literally played the first 10-minute tutorial-esque area. Mm. I've just learned how to attack.
All right, so
I've done almost nothing.
Near on valueless in this.
I walked in and went, "Damn, this looks gorgeous." Did that weird light pulse thing where everything kind of lit up and it showed off all its fancy graphics and how absolutely stunning the game looks. And then I went, "I've got to go to work now," and I haven't picked it up again since.
Cool. All right. Well, in that case,
This is all you.
It's all me. And then I'll in that case, I'm talking to you as well as the peoples at home. So you play as Kena, as the name suggests, and you are a spirit guide. The whole idea is that you are there to help spirits come from this world to the afterworld. And you're making your way through to the mountain shrine. So you're sort of going through the map to get to this one specific location, right? So as you come through, you see your various spirit powers, which do grow and enhance as you play along in the game. So far I have no idea how long I'm into it, but there are, you come into a village and there's a cemetery, and in the cemetery they explain the concept of masks in the game. So when someone passes, a mask is made and put with them. And the idea is that over time, that mask will decay and fall apart and dissipate. So the idea is that is to resemble that transition into the afterworld. So I'm two masks deep. So the idea, if that makes any sense for those playing, the idea is, I think it's kind of set up in like different areas. So the village itself is like a mild hub world with varying parts of the map shooting off it in almost a Metroidvania-esque style, as in you go down one path, you kind of pick up some new skills and you come back, and then those skills help you in that new part. But then again, once you head to a second area, you gain extra skills, you'll come back, you can kind of retraverse the first one and find some cool new things again. Because now in hindsight, after having more skills, I'm thinking back to that first area and going, oh, I could go back and do this now and that because I've seen these things along the pathway, right? So it's very cool in that sense. Very simple in its concept, as in, you know, help spirits pass, whatever. Go into an area, collect X amount of relics. When you collect those relics, it comes down to a boss fight, and that boss fight is then the end of that area. Very similar to kind of like the design of Resident Evil Village, right? You know, like that hub world and then a bunch of little other things.
Yep.
It's very, very cool. But as you mentioned, the game is incredibly stunning. With this being a studio in the heritage of animation, as expected, this game looks amazing. You know, like, when you always hear about, oh, it looks like a Pixar movie, like, it's cliche as fuck to say, but Kena is that. Because the people making it have that heritage in that animation space. Like, it is beautiful. It is amazing. Like, in terms of just the ability to portray emotion in the faces of these characters, it's just being done in a way that I don't think we've seen in an animation space prior, especially when this kind of cartoonish look, right? Now, we look over, like, The Last of Us Part 2 as an example, or, you know, where, like, the animation is so brilliant, like, you can see the minute details in someone's face to really help portray how they're feeling. This is a bit different because it is very DreamWorks-y Pixar in its design. It's like, you know, very soft features, big eyes, you know, all that sort of stuff. So I fucking love this game, like, so much. It's really good. So part of it, this is something that I picked up. I couldn't articulate it. I didn't know what the exact words were until I was listening to another podcast and they talked about it and I went, oh, that makes fucking sense. They talked about how it feels old, but in a good way, right? Because, like, there's not incredibly overcomplicated mechanics. There's not this unnecessarily large skill tree or something you have to learn. There is a skill tree, but it's super simple. So it does have this Neon PS2 feel to it, is the example that they were using. And I'm like, that checks out. Because, like, the traversal is like that. It's a lot of, you know, sort of environmental puzzles. You know, it's a lot of these little things like that that just kind of hit in different ways. And I think it's tremendous. I think it's absolutely amazing. I like that it's not that hard. I like that it's not that intense. Because to me, that makes me not have to stress so much about playing. I can just play it. And boy, do I enjoy just playing it.
Yeah.
You know? It's absolutely fantastic. So yeah, so it is very basic, but it's also building up. There is the combat system is interesting. It's a mix of a lot, you know, sort of the R1, R2, light attack, heavy attack, dodge with a bit of a parry. So your spirit, your energy pulse thingy that you've talked about, that you've seen, that is also used as a defensive, as well as a environmental thing. That's what I'm looking for. Feature, whatever. So you do have to time it in that way, as using, you know, popping that shield up to parry in a shot. I do find that there is something off with the timing, though. It's almost as if that the animation kind of overrides, if that makes sense. So, you know, you press R1 twice to attack, but if that swing starts coming in, if you try to pop the shield, if you don't time it right, it either won't kick in or it kicks in late and you get hit. You know what I mean? It's almost as if the game knows, oh, we have to finish this animation before we can bring in the shield. Like, there's no cancel. That's the term, yeah?
Yeah. There's no attack cancel.
Yeah, there's no attack cancel. It's just like, so you kind of have to pull your punches, because it does have that, you know, it's not Soulsborne, but it's that Souls-like combat, which is the easiest way to explain. There's dodging, there's parrying, there's light and heavy, and it's all very similar. And it's all kind of like, you know, it's the easiest way to explain it. It is not Soulsborne in difficulty, even though difficulty is something I want to talk about. But that's the easiest way to explain that combat style. And it's great. But speaking of difficulty, I am playing on the middle, and I'm finding that there are very intense spikes almost out of nowhere.
But just before you get too deep, is the middle difficulty normal and there's like an easy and hard?
Yeah, so there's easy, normal, hard, and then a master difficulty, which you unlock when you finish the game the first time.
Yeah.
So, so I'm playing on the middle, and 9 times out of 10, standard enemies aren't a problem. Like, some of them give me a bit of an extra challenge, but they're not destroying the game for me. Bosses, on the other hand, pew, that shit rockets. Like, it's one of those things, unless you understand their patterns, and even then, the patterns can just fuck you because of that inability to, like, parry properly or whatever. Like, there are times where I'm like, I clearly dodged that, you know, as in the frames or whatever. Like, I should have been out of it, but it takes as a hit.
Is there no, like, iframes in the dodge animation? Like,
That's the thing. I don't think there's invincibility frames. I think it's you just have to dodge at the right time. It's completely timing based. So It sometimes it does feel as if the game just decides when you get hit. Goes, yeah, you got hit. Which is inconvenient and a bit frustrating, but eventually you get out of it. Eventually you get through it. Like, I've not hit a wall so hard that I'm like, fuck this game. You know?
Yeah.
Which is certainly a positive. Is there anything that I've missed? Because I still haven't finished it yet, so I'll have more to say over the coming weeks. So, oh yeah, the story. The story is the big part of it, right? Obviously, no spoilers. But yeah, the main point of it as Kena is you're assisting these spirits crossover. And they really focus kind of almost on the spirits that you're dealing with rather than Kena. So Kena is there and she does help the story and she's involved, but she is almost at a proxy, right? Like, which kind of checks out, because if you are someone that is if we're thinking of her character, right, as a spirit guide, right, to help people transition, you don't want to get too involved with them because they're going to go.
Yeah.
So the a little bit of coldness is there, but it's also there is still a warmth to her and how she interacts with some of these spirits. And the spirits themselves are fucking amazing so far. Like, when I finished the first area, I did kind of feel a little bit emotionally, like, knowing that they were heading on. Yeah, which is kind of crazy. And like, you sort of, there's this great in-game thing, right? It's almost like the only person, it feels like you're the only person that's alive, quote-unquote, in the area, because people can phase in and out, and like, the little rot, which is the little cute dudes that hang out with you, like, they phase in and out as well. So it is this sensation that, like, you're the only real thing. And once you sort of pick that up, you go, well, how did this person get ahead of me? Like, I was like, and they phase in and out, like you know, little spirits. Like, oh, cool. So because when you're collecting the rot, right, which is these cute little creatures, they kind of just follow you and they help you environmentally and they help you in fights and stuff as well. And they kind of just trail you. But like, if you skip a little bit too far ahead and they get stuck in the environment, they just pop back in wherever they need to, because like the world, there are these cool little magical spirit creatures.
Yeah.
So there's like, it's a great way to explain loading in creatures when you need to, because they're like, oh, they were just over there out of sight because they're spirits, and then they're back. So you'd have to worry about them just sort of like making sure you follow their path, etc. It's a small little detail, but I kind of like it. You have any questions or anything for me?
No, I think you covered it pretty well, actually.
Nice. But yeah, no, like, so I really, really enjoyed it. And on a complete side note, this is more of the business side of things, right? So, Emberlab, being a brand new studio, I think they may have kind of mishandled the whole marketing heading in. Not that the game wasn't marketed. Like, it did go quiet for a long window of time. It did experience some delays. But it appears that there may have been some challenges around going gold. Because, you know, it was really weird. Like, there were some codes in the wild, like, 2 weeks or so before, which was weird. It's like, some streamers had it, but then some big folks didn't. Like, the distribution of review code was really fucking weird. And, like, it almost, because, like, in the embargo itself was technically the minute that it launched, which was 2 p.m. on day of release. So from history, it should dictate that this is a point of concern. If codes are going out a couple of days before and the embargo is the minute of release, we, as you know, people that know the space or the viewer or the player, should have some hesitation on it. You know what I mean? So
yeah.
Which is weird because the game fucking rocks. So like, I don't know why. It's like, for me, it just means as just inexperience in this space on that one. Shane in the chat asks, game of the year contender for you perhaps, Ryan? I want to play it, but I can't quite convince myself to pull the trigger on the $60 while I've got so many other games to play. Yeah, look, so we bought it up. We bought it. We are using the very kindly provided Patreon dollary dues. It allowed us to buy the game so Max and I can play it, which is great. So big thank you to everyone that does support us on Patreon. So I wasn't too hesitant. I wasn't too hesitant on picking it up. I did have that moment of, should we wait? What should we do? But is it going to be in my Game of the Year contendership? Possibly, depending on how the rest of the game goes. Because the way we do it here, it's a little bit different. Like, yes, we try to review things objectively where possible, but there is a lot of subjectivity. I say objective in terms of like, well, this game didn't play as good as this game. Like, mechanically, this one is better than that one. Like, there's no true objective in reviewing. You get my drift. But I mean,
there is still our own personal bias.
Yeah, as in like, if I just loved this game, like, it may have played like butt, but if I loved it, it's going to be in my list. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, so our list is more of a favorite games of the year, not necessarily like a
like an ultimate definitive list.
Like a, yeah.
So like, we'll be like, I really fucking enjoyed this game. I love this game so much. It's gonna go on that list. You know, was it like an 8 out of 10? Yeah, but I thought it was fantastic. You know, did you think, you know, Ghost of Tsushima Director's Cut was technically better, but I like this game more, as an example. And that's where we're at. So, like, that's kind of where I'm thinking. Will it be in my list? Yeah, I think it will be. If it continues along this path, if there's a big, great payoff at the end, I think the answer is very much so. It'll be in that top five that we do at the end of the year. Max, there's a game that you have been playing that I have not been, but my wife has been playing.
Oh, okay. You want me to go that way? Okay. No, that's fine. So, I picked up Diablo 2 Resurrected. On launch. So I launched yesterday at time of recording at like 1 a.m. for us here in Australia. This is the Blizzard remaster of Diablo 2 Lord of Destruction from way back in the day. Essentially it's just the same game that it comes with the Lord of Destruction expansion pack. So it's got all 7 playable characters and they've just given it a nice facelift. From the looks of it, everything else has kind of been left exactly as it is. The story plays out the same way. As far as I'm aware, I'm now just at the start of Act 3.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm sitting at level 24-ish.
Is that very fast for near on hours, not even?
Despite the fact that... obviously, because this game is a remastered, essentially, of an old game, I kind of... surprisingly remember where everything is and how everything works. And the way the necromancer character plays, I've just basically got this army of skeletons running around killing everything for me, and I kind of just stand there out of the way so I don't die.
Okay.
Which both has its uses and is detrimental in some areas. If the areas have a lot of doorways and they're very small spaces, your summons body block each other. And will block a doorway so no one can get through, and then you ended up killing like one enemy at a time. It's very slow and painful. So I'm playing it on PS5. You do get both versions when you purchase the game. You've got a copy of PS4, PS5. I think it's about 20 gig size difference between the two. They've added this nice little nifty thing where you can play it in old school mode. So you hold down L2 and tap the middle screen, and then all of a sudden you're playing on an 800 by 600 blurry, exactly how it was when the game first released, which is kind of cool. Nice little throwback. Obviously, you don't play in that mode for more than like 5 seconds because it's not pleasant.
Is it one of those things where like, Master Chief Collection have that?
Yeah, but like it's an instantaneous snap. I don't know if the Master Chief Collection did that. Okay. Like you literally hit that button combination and the screen just shrinks, goes all blurry, and then you can hit it again and it just goes back to normal.
Yeah, so from memory, yeah, you could just press the button and it would just sort of kick in.
So that's pretty cool. Yeah, if you're a fan of Diablo 2, this is the exact game. It just looks how I remember it looking back when I played it when I was like 10. Yeah, so yeah. I'm not too deep in, but yeah, it plays exactly the same as the original game. It just looks fantastic.
Nice. Well, especially if you're already going as hard on it as you are right now, like
yeah. Well, I mean, certainly a good sign. The benefit is, and I don't remember if it had this many players in the original game, but it is 8-player co-op multiplayer.
Pretty sure it was 4 back in the day.
Yeah. So it does have cross progression saves. So because it's tied to your BattleNet account, if you pick it up on PC as well, instantly all your characters are instantly there. There is no cross play, however. It is just cross progression. The servers have been absolutely atrocious on launch day.
That's a Blizzard standard at this point.
Yeah, so I've noticed a lot of people online have said that they've lost their characters entirely. They've just been deleted and they've had to start again.
Damn.
I've just had horrendous lag whenever I try and play with certain people. It does seem to be getting better. But yeah, just be aware that that is an issue. Most of the time, it goes away within a couple of days. It's already been patched twice, I believe. So hopefully, fingers crossed, that it should be fine now. Other than that, the other game that I've been playing that you haven't, I am still chugging away at Tales of Arise. So that code was provided to us by Bandai Namco Australia. I am now in the third biome, essentially, so the third world area.
Mm-hmm.
So far, the three areas that I've explored so far have been so vastly different from one another. It's been fantastic. The first one's kind of like this drab outback, you know, it's filled with those orange hues. It's all rocky and mountainous. It's very middle of the deserty style area.
Mm-hmm.
The second biome was kind of this like perpetual dark snow area where it's always snowing. There's always blizzards, snowstorms. There's hardly any light anywhere. And then this third biome is just like, there's sun. There's these beautiful like grassland vistas. It's all, you know, it's so vastly different from what came before that it was a really nice change of pace. So I'm about, by my estimation, about 3/5 of the way through the game. So the way the story is set up, you essentially have to deal with the lords of each area. I've done three, and it explains that there is five in total. So I would imagine just over halfway.
Math checks out.
Maybe a little bit more. I have found that I have started to hit a level wall where I need to start doing some either farming more mobs or starting to do side quests. I've hit that point where
I thought you said more farming. I'm like, the farming.
I'm hitting that point where the main story is no longer progressing as equally as I am in level wise.
Okay.
So I'm a little bit behind now, and it's to the point where the most recent boss that I fought, I felt like I was just tickling this thing.
Mm.
And so for the most part, I've played through as just solely as the protagonist, despite the fact that you can play with alternate characters. So I now have five people in my party. You can only have four active members, though, but all five can be used as support. As support characters, so you can kind of call that last person in. They will do an attack and then they'll bail.
Mm-hmm.
But the other four that you've picked will be in the fight permanently, and they will do their own thing.
Okay.
I find that the AI for your companions in battles is just not good sometimes. So for instance, I'll give the example. In the last boss that I fought, it has a very easily telegraphed attack that it basically destroys one half of the battlefield. And if you're in that battlefield, you'll take a crap load of damage. And despite the fact that you move away, all the AI companions will just stand in that and just get wrecked. And it's very frustrating when you're like, it's so easy to avoid. Just like, come and stand over there.
Get over there. Just fucking move out of the way.
Because they just want to attack the enemy. And if the enemy's in that space, they will just keep hammering him. Which is fine. There is a way. I don't know how well it works, but you can set up, I can't think of the actual term for it that they use in game, but it's essentially you can kind of dictate the way they play in game. So you can have them set to like aggressive. You can have them standoffish. You can have them set to only use support abilities, only use offensive abilities. Mm-hmm. So maybe there's a way that I can go in there and like change the way the AI plays and controls them. I haven't looked too deeply into that yet. I haven't actually hit a point where I've needed to do that before now. The game's still playing fantastic. The story is taking some wonderful turns. It's super compelling. It's telling this story of, in layman's terms, essentially, you are a part of a race that's deemed lesser than the other race in this world. Your jobs are all menial labor or slavery, and the way these five lords run the area that you're in is whoever gets the most out of their workers becomes the next high ruler. So they all they treat everyone like, and you're essentially going through and liberating each of these areas to give your people a better life.
Okay.
Too many spoilers. It's a very cliche story. You're the hero of the downtrodden and all that stuff, and that's fine. But it is taking some wonderful turns. The character stories, both NPCs and your party members, are very interesting. They all explain why they're doing what they're doing and why they're helping you achieve your goals. They all have their own agendas that work in parallel to yours, which is fantastic. The game is still fantastic, and hopefully, fingers crossed, I will have it finished by next weekend. But it is, I'm like 24 hours deep at this point, 25 hours deep, and I'm only three fifths of the way through. So it is a big game.
It's a bastard. It's a big bastard.
And from what I've seen, it's got that typical JRPG of there's a crapload of end game content afterwards that's just like harder dungeons and optional bosses and all that fun stuff. There is a difficulty slider. I am playing on normal. If I drop it down to easy, I can probably just play that main scenario stuff and not have to worry about leveling too much. But for now, I will keep it on that normal difficulty. I know there is, I mentioned, I think last week or the first week, because I was provided a digital deluxe edition, I got access to some early artifacts, which allowed me to have XP boosts and stuff. I'm still not running those, but you can find them in game through side quests. So it's not so much pay to win, because you get those in game. You can find stuff like that in game anyway, but you can purchase them earlier to have them from the start of the game.
Okay, that checks out. All right.
So that you can technically pay to win, but it isn't necessary.
Nice, very nice. Well, something else that we have finally both been playing is Deathloop. So Deathloop, we did touch upon it last week, and I did misspeak, I'm afraid. I said the code was provided to us by Bethesda and Double Jump Communications. I misspoke. It is Bethesda and Power Up PR. My apologies. There's some names there that I remember from different times, and my apologies to everyone at Power Up, Jaden, the team. I'm really sorry. So we'll provide a review code for Deathloop. We touched upon it last week with our early impressions. Max, you are fuckloads far further in it now than we were last week. I'm a little bit further. So where I'm at now, so I'm outside of that training, the tutorial time, and I'm now in my free roam space. So one of the first things I want to touch upon compared to last week, we talked about how, you know, it is kind of very, the start of the game, at least, it is very hand-holdy, it's very tutorial, it's like, we're going to clearly show you what you need to do in order to maximize your time with this game. Once you get out of that, it's like, do whatever you want, whenever you want, handle whichever visionary you want to just fuck around and try to understand this particular level a bit more, go ahead. Check it out all day, every day. Aside from, like, maybe your gun's not crossing over, you can kind of do whatever you want. Like, the information is important. Just go fuck ass around in this level. I kind of love that. Because, A, I can just pick the one I want to go to. And if I make a mistake, which I will, which I have, I'm not so dramatically penalized. I was like, oh, well, I'll just end the day and start a new one and try it again. You know, if I really need to. Like, It has all the roguelike repeatability of, say, your Returnal or your Hades as an example, probably the two big ones of most recent, but it has the freedom and the adaptability to not fuck your face in if you make mistakes or you try a different path and it doesn't go well.
Yeah.
So I'm two visionaries deep right now. The first one was a pretty standard one because I think it's part of the tutorial to take the first one. Second one is the gentleman that does the shift ability. So I go to his location on what is the first level, essentially. And there is a small like castle that is his. I snuck my way through it. I essentially got caught in the last area. So everything went off. He ran and hid. I chased him down. I just happened to catch him around a corner because he just like stops at me and I go... and just shotgunned his face in. I was like, that felt like it should have been harder. But it wasn't. So there you go. I can now do the shift ability. And I've spent the rest of the time just kind of, as I said, just understanding this level, finding different ways to get to where I want to be so that when later I want to do a run where I can get as many visionaries in one run as I can, I know the world. Because I'm one of my almost to a fault when it comes to many games is I will run the same scenario the same way. And I'll be like, why can't it go the way that my brain puts it? So now I'm intentionally trying to teach myself how to look at it from a different angle, how to run at it from a different way. Like, what if I go around the back? What if I do this? What if I try it a different day? Like, the result is still there. What do I have to do to get to it?
Yeah. Are you playing in online mode? Have you had many people invade your world?
I believe I'm playing online, and I don't think... I think the tutorial has someone invade, and then shot... I just died. I'm yet to see anyone else come in yet.
Oh, lucky you.
Which means I may be playing offline and not realizing.
Yeah, so I am in now what I believe is the end game.
I've taken
all the visionaries out at least once. As I mentioned last week, you've got this essentially whiteboard with all the red strings attached to it. I have completed all of those red strings now. I know how to identify all of the visionaries. I know where they're going to be at any given time throughout the day. I just have to do the last loop of killing them all in the one day.
Yeah. See, this is the other problem. This is why I don't know whether I'll see the end of this game, because my brain is not good enough to connect all that shit together. Like, I might on an individual visionary, but trying to string it all in a day, like, I'm not going to remember that.
Well, it is very hand-holdy. It does tell you where they're going to be, and it reminds you by giving you those blips of their faces as to where they're going to be at the time zone that you're in.
Yeah.
I found that the waypoints can both be overly helpful and just completely useless.
Mm.
So in some of them, it's like, go and scan this exact thing. This is exactly where it is at this exact location. And then other times it's find the information you need. Here is the marker. It's in this general vicinity. You don't know what you're looking for. You don't know what it's going to look like. I'm not going to tell you exactly where it is, but just go find it.
Mm-hmm.
So that was fine. Like, I spent a lot of time trying to find certain things. So for instance, one of the visionaries is hosting a party. And he's like, well, I'm going to make it a masquerade party. Everyone's going to wear the exact same fox mask. And you have to try and work out which one he is. Now, you can go in guns blazing, kill absolutely everyone in that party, and eventually you will find him and kill him. But that's not how the game wants you to progress it on the final loop. They want you to work out how you can discern him from the rest of the crowd. So I found the option of, it's like, hey, you know he really likes his own music. If you can find what track he's playing and play it on the PA system, he'll be the only one to get up on the dance floor and dance because he's the only one who likes that music. I spent so long trying to find this music track that I ended up finding the other way to discover him, and it turns out that he's the only one who drinks beer at this party. And if you turn all the kegs off, he causes a scene, comes to the bar, and it's like, oh, it's that guy there. And then you just take him out. Great. So I'm now up to the loop of try and get them all done in one turn. All their abilities, because obviously every time you kill a visionary, you get their slab, which is their special ability. So you mentioned that the guy up in his castle has the shift ability, which is the teleportation ability. Of the 8 abilities, I have only ever used 2. I used shift because shift is incredible. It allows you to basically get around the levels a lot easier. It opens up a lot of different pathways to you. The other one I used is, I can't think of the exact term for it, but it is the tutorial slab. It's the one that you get from killing the visionary in the tutorial. And basically it links players' minds together. So you can link a bunch of enemies, and if you shoot one, they all get shot. They share whatever happens to one of them. So that's all I've been doing. If you kill the same visionary over and over again, you will unlock upgrades for those slabs. So my shift ability now allows me to hover in midair when I'm activating it, so I can kind of pinpoint my direction a little bit better. I have access to extended range. I have access to the ability to just swap places with another player that I can see. It just instantly just reverses where you are and where they are, which can come in useful. There's one where I can teleport and kick at the same time, so I can kind of teleport kick people off buildings if they stand.
Oh, how good is kicking people off the buildings, by the way?
The fact that this game has a standalone button for kicking is fantastic.
Yeah, they got trophy because of it.
Yeah, I am still only using single fire weapons because the gun jamming in this game is, I find it to be frustrating more than anything else.
Mm.
Like, the idea behind it is cool. The way it works on the DualSense controller is cool. But there is nothing worse than a bunch of enemies are running at you. You're mowing them down, and then all of a sudden your gun jams and you just die.
Yeah, I guess that's sort of the point, it's that risk and reward.
I get that that's the point behind it, but it sometimes feels frustrating and detrimental, especially when it is a roguelike, and if you get kicked out of the level early from dying, you kind of miss your opportunity to either kill the visionary in the area or find the information you need to progress the story.
Yeah. Well, speaking of taking people out, though, and I touched upon this last week as well, and I'm just going to reiterate how much I love it. In a game that benefits you from being stealthy, when you shoot someone and their body disintegrates, fuck yeah. Fuck yeah. Because one of the biggest problems I had in Dishonored was I would kill someone and then I'd go to move them. They're like, hey, there's a body. And like almost instantly, and then I almost felt de-incentivized to stealth in Dishonored. It was almost like so staggeringly harder to be stealthy in that game that it's almost unrealistic to play that way. Where here, both, like, I feel like just that minor change and having them disintegrate into the currency that you need to infuse is just helpful. Like, I'm actually more enticed to sneak my way through and go, and then, like, you know, like, clear a room quietly. Where I, you know, said Dishonored, I'm like, well, I'll try. Meh. Well, I'll just fucking gun everyone down. You know, and I think that is that, like, that right, I think that's the correct right balancing. Right, the small little difference completely changes how you play in this game, and I love it.
I have still yet to play as the invader.
Yeah, me either.
But I have been invaded tons of times, and you can definitely tell the people who only play as the invader versus a new player to the invader, because there'll be some people that'll just absolutely destroy me, and then there's people who are like, "Oh, he's over there," and you just walk up and like kick him off a building. So yeah, obviously you can turn that off by playing in offline mode. I would recommend leaving online mode on. Great rewards that you get, lots of that currency that you need to infuse your weapons that allows you to keep them through runs, but also you can get slab upgrades through them as well. Like, it's a very good way to do that.
Is it still on? Speaking of Game of the Year contenders from before, is this still on your list?
Yeah, very much so. Very much so.
I don't think we've played anything else.
I didn't think I was going to, but yeah, very much so. The last thing I've been playing, and I'll touch upon it now, I jumped back into Ghost of Tsushima Legends.
Yes.
And just last night, we finished the entirety of the Legends of EO raid.
How was it?
Oh, what a nightmare that was.
Oh.
So it's separated into three parts, and you have to beat the previous part to unlock the next part, which is fine. We had done it before. Like, we originally beat it back on PlayStation 4. So we've done it again because you needed to re-beat it to unlock the new challenge of EO mode. Now that your Masterwork gear is of higher gear score, it's like a harder challenge. So we went through again. The first one's fairly simple. You know, you have to work together to complete a series of events. Fine. The second one is a lot more environmentally puzzly. There's a lot of jumping puzzles where three players get the... basically, they get sword attunements of different colors related to different symbols. So one's a moon, one's like a lightning symbol, the other's a sun. And the one, because this is for teams of four... So the one person who's left over can see what platforms are for what person. If there's a sun platform, the person with the sun attunement has to jump onto it to form the platform, and then the rest of the team can jump on. So you kind of have to guide your teammates through and be like, okay, you need to jump now. Now it's you to progress through. That was fine. At the end, there's basically this area where two people have to defend a point, and two people go and collect and escort an item to the start of the raid.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of the times we were wiping and getting game overs because of, not because of our lack of skill and not because of dying from the enemies, but mechanics in the game not working properly. And mainly it was when you were using the grapple hook to try and get onto a grapple point to climb up to an area. The grapple option just didn't exist. You just couldn't do it. And if you fall and die in the raid setting, if any of the four ghosts die or any of the four player characters die, it causes a reset. Which is really frustrating when you die purely because something like an R2 indicator doesn't show up on your screen.
Yeah.
But we ended up, we got the finish last night. We beat the end boss. The end boss is really cool mechanic. So it sticks you in a room with a big boss and two portals. And you activate the portals and you send one player in. And it does similar to that of the main scenario, like the main single player game, where you have that one versus one duel scenario.
Mm-hmm.
And the mechanic in the duel is the person that you're fighting will have symbols either on top, or below, or on either side of their head, and whichever symbol flashes corresponds to the larger boss in the outside area where the other three players are left, and you have to shoot that target that the player inside tells you. And eventually, like once you deal enough damage to the boss kicks you back out, and then you just repeat the same thing. You activate the next portal, you go, you send someone through, and you kind of just rinse and repeat. Really, really fun. It is challenging. It is something that I don't think the game supports matchmaking for it, and I wouldn't recommend matchmaking for it. It is something that you really do need communication for. Yeah, I was
gonna say, it sounds super important to play with the right people on that one.
But yeah, it's super fun, and there's a little bit more Ghost of Tsushima news later in the show.
Fantastic. And we should also mention as well, although Max and I haven't really dived into it too much at the moment, is Death Stranding Director's Cut. A review code was provided to us by PlayStation Australia, so thank you. I have it installed on the console, ready to go. I was going to transfer the save over, but there's a little bit of a hiccup here. So unlike Ghost of Tsushima, where you could just pull your save from the cloud, you literally have to go to your PS4 version of the game, tell it to upload, and then go to your PS5 version, whatever. And that's going to be near on impossible for me, because I'm just lazy. And also, I installed that game yonks ago. So it looks like I'm starting fresh. I know you were going to start fresh anyway, Max. And I'm thinking I'm probably going to as well, because I really want to see how these new changes affect the game from a go to woe, and I think I'm kind of ready for that story again. And now that I know what I'm looking, I now know what to expect. I don't think it'll seem as daunting this time around. But yeah, so there's a little bit of a hassle. I think a lot of trophies will pop if you just do it, and then it kind of finishes off with whatever extra trophies there are. But I'm going to start from, I think I might start from scratch as well. Like, so once Kena is done, I probably don't see myself finishing Deathloop just because of my lack of skill and inability rather than desire. Very similar to Returnal in that space. And then I'll probably dive into it. But even though it is a pretty busy-ish time heading up, like, Far Cry is a couple of weeks away. There's a bunch of games coming out this week, but I don't care about them. But we're about to hit that little October-y window of busy. A lot of things have moved into next year, but it is a bit more intense at the moment. So we'll have more things to say about Death Stranding, Director's Cut over the coming weeks, something that both Max and I were very, very excited to jump into. Just having me a little bad luck because it did kind of pop up out of nowhere. I forgot that it was coming this month. And then I also didn't realize that it was also the end of September. So that kind of really put a spanner in it all.
Certainly did.
Yeah. Anyway, before we jump into the into this week's news, let's get that's an hour in. Fuck me. Let's get to section we call our Get Less Fat update, where we tell you about our weight loss journey. So for those that don't know, in 2020, I started a weight loss journey with a product called the Man Shake. It is a meal replacement shake that I am an ambassador for. This year, Max has also jumped on that on the Man Shakes to see what he can do with his weight loss. That I lost close to 35 kilos. Max lost 15 at the moment. Max, where are you at? Because this week we started the Man Challenge. So once, twice a year, they start this 30-day challenge, sort of help kick things into gear. The idea is it's a meal plan mixed with sort of 10 to 15 minute exercises, as well as working goals, as well as everything you sort of need to have a real kick-ass month. I wasn't able to do it last time because I blew my shoulder out. This time I'm giving it a red hot go. How's it going for you?
Yeah, so it's been really good. So I've had shakes every day this week except yesterday. Yesterday was my designated, like, I'm just going to eat whatever. I didn't go crazy. I just like, I'm like, I need a proper food all the way through. The daily exercises have been fantastic. The first day kind of put me on my ass.
Because you and I are both doing the middle one, yeah?
Yeah, so I vastly overestimated what it... So basically it's like, it gives you an option of three. I think it was like beginner, intermediate, advanced. And beginner's like, beginner's like, you do some walking, but you don't really exercise. This is for you. Intermediate, can you do 10 push-ups? Yeah, I can do 10 push-ups. Cool. The first exercise that we did for that day was way more than what that was. I'm like... And it knocked me around. But luckily, they're doing this thing where it's kind of like it is a high intensity thing one day, and the next day it's like a yoga or stretching, or not as high intensity as the previous day, which is fine. I do find myself kind of like, I feel silly doing the yoga stuff, and that is just on me. Like I'm not super flexible as it is. I feel ridiculous doing it. I understand the need to do it. But on those days, I find myself to be less motivated than the other days.
Mm-hmm.
I have not yet done today's.
Me either.
I hear it. It's just. I hear it. Yeah. But yeah, so I'm not. I'm also not following their meal plan as strictly. I'm doing my two shakes and a meal, which has been fine. And so far in the first week, so I think it kicked off Monday.
Yep.
Was it Monday or Sunday? So from Monday to today, I have lost just shy of 2 kilos.
Get fucked! Congratulations, man. That's amazing.
So it's been really good, and having this extra motivation of having it refer to itself as a challenge, I find myself more compelled to.
They've gamified it.
Yeah, they've gamified it for me, and because of that, I've found myself to be much more strict with myself this time around, and I'm having those shakes every day, and I'm doing the things that I should be doing. I find myself I'm not snacking as much. I'm eating healthier meals for dinner. Like last night, for instance, I made a Mongolian beef stir fry. Absolutely fantastic. My kid didn't like it, but whatever, I did.
He's like fucking two.
But what about you? How are you going?
So look, once again, like I've done this before. Like, so last time the Man Challenge came around, like yourself, I was like, I believe my fitness has increased to a point where I can handle the medium, right?
Yeah.
Last time, nah, no fucking chance. This time, major success. So nice. That like already, that is such a massive win for me.
So how are you going? Just before you get too deep in, apart from the meal plan and the HIIT exercises, the high intensity exercise, it also has a hey, try and hit this step count during the day. How are you finding hitting your count? Because you have an office job, whereas by 7 o'clock in the morning, I've like doubled what the step step challenge.
I'll get into that now. So like that's the thing. It's like the exercise itself. not a challenge for me at the moment. Like, there are some that push me, but because of my window of time this year of going to the gym and getting fitter and getting healthier, like, I can do push-ups and shit with not too much trouble. Like, you know, the flexibility that I have of, like, you know, doing squats and doing burpees and that sort of... Burpees fucking suck, but, like, I can do them. And then, of course, because I did so much, like, DDP yoga over my journey so far, like, the yoga and the Pilates is piss easy compared to DDP, right? So that's fine. But, like, yeah, so in my own self, I'm like, fuck yeah, I can do this. Steps, though. Steps is the hardest part for me because, as you said, like, part of my job, especially even more now so, as I've sort of been promoted and I do more of that back end business stuff, I spend more time behind my desk than I ever have before. So I am not hitting my steps every day. Previously, and especially with gym still being locked down, I would go to the gym and just walk on the treadmill for half an hour.
Yeah.
If I needed to, I would run on the treadmill for half an hour. I can't because Geelong being, you know, I talked about last week, we got snap locked down again. We've not been able to do shit. So, and because of my new fucking hang up about birds, I've not gone for a walk. So, like, that's that. Like, so in terms of my step counters, I'm not hitting my step counters at all. Okay. Fitness stuff, super easy. My meals is the same because my routine hasn't changed. It's still the two shakes, it's some appropriate snacks, and my Muscle Chef meal for dinner. So this is where it's fascinating. I've gained weight over this week.
Oh, wow.
I've gained about 1.5 kilos. Nothing has changed. My steps, like, once again, because even coming into this, even to my week, yeah. even into coming yeah. into this week, my steps are the same. My meal's the same. The only thing that's increased is those exercises. Because we've had probably like 6-7 weeks of no gym, of no inability to go to gym. Like, I think it's this weird, my body is kind of responding to the physical exercise again, going, what the fuck are you doing? And then it's holding. I think that's what it's doing. Whether it's holding water or whatever, I think there's something there. It's certainly not like, I've gained 1.5 kilos of muscle this week. No chance. I have not done enough to do that. So, like, I kind of think
you're
that...
You're not constipated or anything? You're not backed up?
Not that I'm aware. You know,
weighed yourself on a wrong day?
Yeah, look. I do weigh myself daily. Just because
I couldn't do that.
For me, it helps me understand, yeah. right? It helps me see the fluctuations and I can understand the fluctuations better. But yeah, even with, you know, like, just looking at it, I'm like, this is, it's not checking out. Something about it's not right. So I'm hoping into week two, it's like, oh, wait, we're back in a routine now. Sweet. And then it continues on what it's currently doing. That's my hope anyway. So I'm pretty excited to see how it goes. Like, even though I don't see myself losing a lot of weight, because I think, you know, after 30 to 35 kilos, my body is starting to hit its peak of its amount it's lost, I've thought. Unless I really go hard, and I will need the gym for that, I'm probably going to stay around this weight. I think this is my body shape. This is who I am, and it's fucking way better. And I did post this in the Man Checkers group as well, because the unflattering side of weight loss, you know, said I've lost 25% of my original body weight. When I get into yoga poses, there is so much just shit just hanging around, getting in the way. I look like a fucking mother dog with all the shit hanging out, you know, when she's got babies hanging off her. You know, it looks like someone's stashed a really shitty bag of oranges down my front, just hanging there, all hot mess. Because, like, it's loose skin with, like, sort of residual fats. So previously my stomach wasn't stiff, but because it was larger, like, it held its shape. Where here, it's just kind of, there's little pockets of it still, and it's just kind of this weird, gross mess. And it's one of those things, even if I was to, like, tone up or whatever, it would still wouldn't entirely solve the problem. It's this weird, like, I feel that it's going to have to come a point where I'm going to have to get it removed. Because, like, one of my biggest, I was going to make a big social media post about this with that picture, and then I got real anxious about it, so I decided not to, but I think I still might do it. Because, like, one of the biggest hurdles that I've had when I was bigger, I know we've really, like, talked about this a long time in a show that's about, not about games, but one of my biggest hang-ups I had was my stomach hanging out from under my shirt. Always been a big hang-up of me. Now, even though I'm thinner, my stomach hangs lower than it ever did before.
Mm.
So it's actually weird. Like, in terms of that hang up has become worse. Because now I'm buying correctly fitting shirts across the chest and the arms and whatever, right? And across the torso. But they have that. Like, because the shirt fits better here, they aren't as long.
Yeah.
It's really, I'm going to have to get some fucking girdle or like one of those like pull-up-y high undie pant things. Like, not Y fronts, but you know what I mean? Like a compression shit. I'm like, I have to in order just for me to feel confident. You know, it's weird. Like, I should feel better, but I don't in some ways. It's really frustrating. Yeah. Anyways, if you want to support Max and our weight loss journey, or maybe even start your own, there is a link in the description below. It is bit.ly/FTPmanshake. By going there, you don't even have to buy anything. Just clicking on that link, you support us, you support the show, and maybe you too could change your life. It's not as bad as I got there. I've got the sweet other side of it problems, but during the process, it's real good. I'm so glad you've lost another 2 kilos, Max. That's fucking amazing.
Yeah, I'm pretty stoked, man. I'm pretty stoked.
All right, let's get into the section. That's enough about that. Let's get into the section we call Inform the Players. We tell you about what happened this week in PlayStation. It's enough about our fucking bodies, whether we're backed up or not, or water or whatever. We did a big hunk of games we played to talk about the news. Max, where are we at?
Oh, let's talk about an apple a day, Ryan.
Right, now, I know this is huge
Sony news, but it's pretty big news in the gaming space. So Fortnite will not be returning to the iOS App Store anytime soon, according to a series of emails published on Twitter on Wednesday by Epic Games CEO Tim Sweeney. The emails published on Wednesday, both on Twitter and an Epic blog post, indicate that Epic Games' various apps are unlikely to return to the App Store for the foreseeable future. One letter published by Sweeney, dated September 21st and sent by lawyers representing Apple, informs the company that Apple will not reinstate Epic's developer account until the appeals have been resolved, a process that could take years. Quote, Apple has exercised its discretion not to reinstate Epic's developer program account at this time. Furthermore, Apple will not consider any further requests for reinstatement until the district court's judgment becomes final and non-appealable, which is about 5 years, I think. Writing on Twitter, Sweeney framed Apple's refusal as a betrayal of its earlier pledge to reinstate Epic Games once the company assented to follow the App Store guidelines. Quote, Apple lied. Apple spent a year telling the world, the court, and the press that they would welcome Epic's return to the App Store if they agreed to play by the same rules as everyone else. Epic has agreed, and now Apple has reneged in another abuse of its monopoly power over a billion users. Apple has declined to comment on Sweeney's tweets, but did not dispute the authenticity of those documents.
Man, I can't believe they're still beefing. Fuck it, it's just fuck.
Well, basically, Apple are like, we're not going to let you back on until you can no longer appeal and try and overturn what happened.
And it's one of those things, like, unless they were legally bound behind those rulings to bring them back on, like, they're within the...
Yeah.
There's like...
Yeah.
Like, yes, they're acting petty and childish about it, but, you know, it's their storefront. They can do what they want.
Yeah.
And, once again, like, it's that whole argument, like, if Epic don't want to play by Apple's rules, then they're going to play by their own rule. You know what I mean? Like, Apple are going to play by their rules. Like, if you want to be on our store, you support this shit, right? Yeah, no, cool. All right, whatevs. You know? Also, Bat Prince with 100 biddies there. Thank you very much, my friend. Yeah, like, okay. It's a weird, like, this is just two dick measuring, like, two big companies measuring dicks at each other. And it's still going. And all it's really doing is affecting the individuals that want to play Fortnite on their phone. There was a high number of people that were playing it on there that are now caught up in this bullshit. It's the same individuals that the Epic tried to weaponize and to be like, fucking fight Apple with us, you know, because they're trying, you know, which I also had a massive problem with at the time.
But yeah.
I don't fucking care. Let them be petty at each other. It's two multi-billion dollar companies fucking throwing money at each other. Let them fucking...
Pretty much.
Let them just crumble each other. I don't give a shit. All right, next up, Ghost of Tsushima. Sucker Punch has added a new survival mode to Ghost of Tsushima Legends. Legends has been updated quite significantly since its original launch in the Director's Cut last month. In the recent launch. The new map titled Twilight and Ashes take place in Eo's realm. The developer has also confirmed that next week we will see the release of another survival map, which will be based on the Iki Island expansion. It's called Blood and Steel, and it will be arriving on the 1st of October. Now, Max, had you dipped into the Twilight and Ashes yet?
No. So it released, I believe, this morning as time of recording.
So Saturday the 25th?
Yeah.
All right, so obviously having just finished the previous raid, this is fantastic timing on
their part. This is a survival map, but based on the raid. So it's not a new raid, it's just a new survival wave shooter map based on that raid.
Oh, no, but I mean, like, in terms of their consistency on releasing things. Like,
yeah, no, it's been good.
It's great. Just enough time to finish up. They're now giving you more, all for free.
Yeah.
You can't shit on Sucker Punch at all for how they've handled Legends. It's absolutely amazing.
Well, Ryan, tomorrow is Last of Us Day.
That's time of recording, so the 26th
of
September.
So the Last of Us Day, Naughty Dog's annual celebration of its post-apocalyptic property, is happening this weekend on Sunday, the 26th of September. Naughty Dog does say that it has, quote, all new content to show on the big day. In a fresh PlayStation blog post, which mostly details some of the new PlayStation Gear Store merchandise, the developer does write,
unavailable in Australia for some fucking reason. Fix it, PlayStation. I want to give you my money.
Quote, we will be revealing some all-new content on September 26th at 9 a.m. PTC, which I think is 3 a.m. Monday morning for us here in Australia. Be sure to come back and check it out on thelastofus.com/Tilu Day. And that link does not work.
Currently.
Doesn't go anywhere. Currently. Could be fixed. But currently...
It might be one of those websites that kicks into gear as this stuff goes live.
Yeah.
Which makes sense. When we have a massive list of data miners that will just grab a website and run with it and like pull apart its entire back end, and they go, here it is, and then the reveal comes and they go, yeah, it was pretty much what that dude said. So I think they're playing it very safe, and they're keeping it off the internet, and they'll have it go live near on or close to, and then which do you think, Max, tinfoil hat time, that if they are being this intense in the scenario that I just made up, will it be factions?
No. I know that you can, there are Ali and Abby costumes for Sackboy's epic adventure.
Big adventure.
But I don't think it's going to be anything crazy substantial like the mercenaries or the factions, I think. No.
Maybe a date for maybe a trailer for it, because a trailer is still technically content, right? It doesn't have to be playable content. It can still be content.
Maybe it'll come out on that PlayStation Experience app.
Complete side note. I thought about this week, right?
I saw your little rant on Twitter, so I thought I'd bring it up.
So I thought about it. So I was sitting at home, as I am, because we can't fucking go anywhere.
As I do on a daily basis.
As I do, because I live here. I was thinking, I was like, huh. Isn't it weird how Blue Box has gone so fucking quiet?
Like, and there's no one cares.
No one cares. Like, as I said, the problem that I have with this is twofold, right? It's A, good. They wasted our time. But B, they wasted our time. We should not forget this. Because if they're allowed to just kind of slink off into the night, isn't that everything that they had done before as per that, you know, that list of their previous behaviors? And I think Sony should be accountable too here, not just Blue Box. Sony should be reminded, you supported this and it fucked up and they misled everyone. What are you going to do about it? What does it mean? Where is this thing?
Also, getting back on topic, Puck in the chat, maybe a teaser for the HBO series of Last of Us.
That is probably very likely, because I believe that at least the first couple of episodes of films, I think. Mm.
Yeah.
Should be exciting. That would be fantastic. Or at least a potential window date. You know, it's like, you know, fucking April 2022. The Last of Us would be cool. That's a perfect day to show off that teaser, by the way. So I'm with Puck, actually. I think that's probably a much more likely thing to take place. Far Cry 6 Max comes out in like just under a month, actually. which I'm excited.
Like two weeks.
Wait, what?
Isn't it the start of October?
Is it the end of October?
I thought it was the start of October.
I swear it's like the 21st of October. There's something else on the 21st of October. There's something else coming out the back end of next month.
7th of October.
Fuck! Right? All right. This so
like 2 weeks.
Literally less than 2 weeks away. Far Cry 6. A big trailer went up actually about with what's his face? Esposito. Gustavo's his character in Breaking Bad. Whatever his name is. Esposito. According to Ubisoft 3D team lead programmer Stephanie Brenham, ray tracing will only be a PC only feature. End quote. In the Caribbean escapade, quote, on console, our objective has been to take advantage of new hardware capabilities, optimizing performance, targeting 4K and achieving 60 frames per second, for instance, all while ensuring that the experience on the previous generation of console would remain consistent. Giancarlo Esposito. I won't say Jean-Paul Esposito, but that sounds more French. But yeah, Giancarlo. Thank you very much, Puck. So, no ray tracing on the consoles, not on the PS5, not on the Xbox.
I mean, I'm fine with this. Like, if their reasoning to leave out ray tracing is to hit that 4K 60, fine.
Which I do kind of like, because, you know, from memory, the Far Cry series have always run at a reasonably high frame rate, and it's been pretty smooth, except for when shit gets real fucking intense. So I'm with you. I would much rather a 4K 60 or at least something 60. 1440 60 would be fine by me if that means ray tracing. But like, ray tracing is beautiful. It's one of those things that I think we'll get more of as the time goes. But when we're working with a game that is available across multiple generations, including your PS4, your PS5s, your PCs, etc., that is where we're going to start seeing these challenges. It does come on PS4, right? Sweet. So I think that's part of it here, because if they're trying to hit 4K 60 on a fucking PS4 or a PS4 Pro, sorry, or an Xbox, not a Series X. What's the one before that?
Series S.
One X. Right. If they wanted to hit 4K 60, because once again, both those consoles are capable of 4K. You're gonna have shortcomings, and this is one of the things. The sooner they can fuck off the PS4 and the Xbox One series, then that these things will start happening more regularly. Because once they're only making it for PC and the current gen consoles, they keep having me referred to as the next gen consoles, because the current gen hasn't fucking stopped. Because it needs to stop. It needs to become the current gen. PS5, Xbox Series X, PC. If they were the only things being made for, I would like to think that we would have these here. That is the hindrance. Everyone's like, oh, why does it doesn't hurt having cross-generation? Yeah, it does. And this is part of it.
From a business standpoint, it doesn't... it benefits them to have cross-generation. But from our standpoint, like, the people that want the better features, we have to cater to the lowest, the lowest technology.
Yeah. And only because I'm not smart enough to understand whether a ray tracing is something you simply tick a box on for the PC version compared to the console. I don't know how it works. I presume it's harder than that, right?
I would imagine so.
Yeah, so it's not as if I can...
There's definitely not a checkbox to enable ray tracing.
Yeah, I imagine it's a lot more complicated. Therefore, if you have to make it fit for a PS4 Pro or a base PS4, technically, it's like, well... we're not going to implement this ray tracing because the amount of processing that's going to take, or even just having it there.
And I think a lot of development teams are also looking at the shitstorm that was Cyberpunk, and they're like, we cannot afford for that to happen. Spot just on. To get ray tracing in our game.
Yeah, like they're like, well, we can't, no one can be that. So they have to make the base consoles work now. They have to.
Yeah.
So like there will be shortcomings in order to meet that. Fuck them off. Piss off the PS4, man. It's like availability is getting better and better. Fuck it off. It's time.
Quick bits, because it was a slow news week this week. Knockout City Season 3 is hacked. New map and season kicks off October 5th.
Is that like it? Has it been hacked, or is that the style?
That's the name. Oh, okay. It's hacked.
Oh.
A Life is Strange remaster is set to release February 1st.
That's good for you. Well, that February is fucking still bonkers busy, but...
It's just another game in February to add to the list of all the things that I want to play that month.
Yeah.
And lastly, I threw this in the quick bits because we've both touched on it in previous episodes. The SEC is also now investigating Activision Blizzard over its workplace practices, and a lot of the higher-ups, including Bobby Kotick, have been subpoenaed by the SEC.
Ooh. Ooh. Sucks to be them.
Yeah.
Here are the top 10 best-selling PS4 games for the week ending the 19th of September here in Australia. Number 10, Marvel Spider-Man. Number 9, Crash Bandicoot 4, It's About Time. Number 8, Formula 1 2021. Number 7, Horizon Zero Dawn Complete Edition. Number 6, God of War. Number 5, GT Sport. Number 4, Rainbow Six Siege Standard Edition. Number 3, Red Dead Redemption 2. Number 2, Grand Theft Auto 5. Eat a dick. Number 1, NBA 2K22. As discussed last week, I believe Paul James in the chat was like, the game is bum. Cause it's just worse than ever before. That didn't stop anyone.
Yeah.
I think we'll see a sort of a 1 and a 2 between GTA and NBA for the next foreseeable future until November.
FIFA comes out on the 1st of October. So FIFA will jump.
Shit, I was going to say like maybe
in like FIFA a week and a half.
Call of Duty. So there you go. Yeah. Speaking of coming out.
Speaking of upcoming titles, we have In Sound Mind coming to PlayStation 5 September 28th. Lemniscate coming to PlayStation 4 and PlayStation 5 September 28th. Insurgency Sandstorm, PlayStation 4 September 29th. A Juggler's Tale, PS4, PS5 September 29th. Eve Football, PS4, PS5 September 30th. Bonfire Peaks, PS4, PS5 September 30th. Aeon Drive, PS4, PS5 September 30th. Astria Ascending, PS4, PS5 September 30th. Hot Wheels Unleashed, PS4, PS5, September 30th, and FIFA 22, PS4, PS5, October 1st.
Literally none of that does anything for me.
Hot Wheels looks cool.
Yeah, Hot Wheels looks right.
Astria Ascending is apparently good for RPG fans, I've heard. E-Football, I think, is what PES used to be.
Spot on,
and
yeah.
is the very bare bones at the moment.
Yeah. I'm not picking up any new games this week. This week for me will be working on Deathloop, working on Kena, trying to get the platinum in Paw Patrol because why not?
I hear Kena's a very, very easy plat these days because there's
a way to hack it to get the master difficulty.
There's a trick to get the master difficulty playthrough instantaneously.
that looks so rough. So yeah. Either way, thank you very much for joining us, everyone, this week. We really appreciate you spending your time with us, listening to us talk about PlayStation, our weight loss, and just us in general. So thank you so much. We really appreciate it.
Well, everyone, this PlayStation conversation happens every Monday morning at 8 a.m. on podcast services, including Apple Podcasts and Spotify, and 9 a.m. on those YouTubes. If you'd like to take part in future conversations with us, come and check out our socials, Facebook, Discord, Instagram, and Twitter. All of those links can be found in the description below.
If you want to join us as the conversation happens, head over to twitch.tv/thepopcultures where you can watch us record this show live, where you can jump in the chat and become part of the show. If you want to support the show, you can. Tell your friends, tell your family about this PlayStation pod. If you are listening on podcast services, sure, give us a 5-star rating and a written review. If you are on YouTube, sure to like, subscribe, leave a comment below. I endeavor to answer every single comment. If you want to support the show financially, you can at patreon.com/thepopcultures, as well as our merchandise store, popculture.com/shop. We buy shirts and other assorted shit with our logos on it. But until next week, I'm Ryan Betson.
I'm Max Cooper.
And that was For the Players.